Welcome to Ron Paul and Charles Goyette, the weekly podcast. The release of U.S. POW Bo Bergdahl, freed in a trade for Taliban figures held in Guantanamo, is a story that has more angles than a work of fiction. Was Bergdahl a deserter? What were his motives? His emails to his parents from before his capture suggest that he was disaffected with the U.S. mission in Afghanistan. And his father looking for all the world like he's either a cast member of Duck Dynasty or, as the figures in cable TV would have it, a Taliban convert. And is there merit to the claim that Obama acted contrary to the law in the trade for Taliban commanders? And then there are the tragic sunk costs at this point, the additional lives that are said to have been lost in trying to rescue Bergdahl. So is Sergeant Bergdahl being brought home from captivity so that he can spend the rest of his life in captivity? All you can say, Dr. Paul, for sure is that war seems to contaminate everything it touches.
You know, I don't think it's difficult to come around to understanding how foreign policy is involved in this. But wouldn't it be awfully boring for the people if we had a non-interventionist foreign policy? We wouldn't have these great complex problems to sort out. Who's right? I mean, is this guy a traitor or is he a real hero or whatnot? But that's one thing they're not really talking about is the foreign policy. Matter of fact, they're doing their very best to protect it. For instance, those individuals back at home, family, and I give them credit for being sincere. If he's not a hero, that means he and everybody else that ever went over there in the whole war was absolutely in vain. So there's a lot of, you know, pro-war people who support this idea that he's a veteran, because look how they place all these praises on all veterans that's coming back. Now, it turns out that this guy is a little bit more difficult to paint as a hero. But I think, in a way, it's a form of defending the war by saying people that come back, no matter what, are heroes. Of course, those individuals who have always been upset with not our government not being hawkish enough and fighting to kill the last man, I mean, we still have McCain and others that argue the only problem with Vietnam was we didn't put enough troops in there, bomb enough people and kill enough people, and we gave up too soon. So there's always going to be those kind, and they're super supporters of the war, so they call this guy a traitor. But, you know, he's a little more difficult to defend than, say, a guy like Edward Snowden, because Edward Snowden is a young guy, became disenchanted with our policies and what our government was doing, took a risk, gave us information, and now he's called a traitor as well, and some of us think he's closer to being a hero. This one is a little bit different, but I think still there's the anti-war sentiment that makes it more complex, because most people, you know, who become anti-war don't become anti-American, and their minds get twisted around. And I think the decisions he made are a little bit more complex than what Edward Snowden did. But nevertheless, you know, now we're dissecting this out. You know, should he have been released by releasing these five horrible, terrible terrorists, the Taliban? And I say that with a question mark, because most likely they are pretty violent individuals, and they're getting to get out of Guantanamo. But they've been in prison for 10 years. They didn't invade United States. They didn't attack United States. They attacked Americans and would like to, because we're in their country. And the Taliban's not quite like the Al-Qaeda. The Taliban's more dedicated to keeping all foreigners out of their land. And, of course, we were allies once with the Taliban when it was called the Mujahideen. And Osama bin Laden was on our side because we were trying to get the Russians to leave Afghanistan. So it's much more complex than it looks. But anyway, the trade-off is very, very aggravating to a lot of people. It's even suggested that, you know, that the president has way overstepped his bounds and he had no authority to do this. Now, there can't be anybody that's been around for the last several decades, especially when I was in Congress, to be so strongly opposed to giving the executive branch any more power. But my understanding of the executive power in the military is that we do have one commander in chief, and he has, you know, more authority to move troops around than the Congress does. The Congress has the authority to declare war and give him certain privileges. But once there's troop involvement, the president's supposed to be in charge. But that is another political issue coming up. But I think that's a partisan thing. I think that's Republicans just trying to, you know, go after the Democrats, because the Republicans aren't arguing, you know, for non-intervention. So they have a mess defending this and what to do, making the decision about traitor versus hero. But, you know, the only word that I've come up with that I'm not sure it's a perfect word, but in many ways, it does sort of tell us what's going on here. I see Bergdahl as more a victim, you know, maybe a victim of his own emotions and indecisiveness in what to do. And is he American, pro-American? What did he do by leaving his troops? And, you know, it's really quite a mixed bag. There's an argument now that maybe up to six people died looking for him. And it wasn't like he was captured in a fight, you know, in a firefight. You know, it's quite a bit different. But I still think victim is not the worst thing. Matter of fact, I think they're all victims to some degree. Of course, people say, no, you're 18. You can make up your own mind and you should be able to discern whether you should go or not. But the propaganda is so strong. It's been around for so long that we are conditioned, you know, to go along with it and go along with the policy. And so I see the people who die over there, they themselves didn't declare the war. Whether or not they should have resisted and not gone, that's another subject. But they go because our politicians send them over there. So whether it's Bergdahl and that problem that we're facing now, or whether it's these individuals that might have died looking for him, but all the people who have suffered in Afghanistan, in Iraq, whether it was on the other side or on our side, I think are victims of bad ideas and bad policy. Just think of what it had been like if we had followed a non-interventionist foreign policy since 1945. If we had just said, you know, enough is enough. The First World War was the war to end all wars. It didn't happen. It got worse. What if we decided in 1945, no more wars? We'll go along with no more declared wars, but we'll go along with no more wars, period. Just think, we'd have had no military deaths. We would have no VA problems because we would have such a small population in our VA hospitals. And we wouldn't be dealing with this thing that they're missing the whole point. We're all bogged down on these details of who said what, when, and why did he do it, and was he a traitor, and or is he a hero, and did what he was told? Who knows? I'd much rather think about this strategically and how this could have all been prevented. And we're going to have more of this type of conversation because we're involved in Ukraine and Syria and all these other places. So it's going to continue until the American people decide enough is enough. We don't need these kind of wars. We don't need to victimize our people by the propaganda telling everybody, you know, that we're being attacked. We're going to be bombed. We have to kill the Hitler of the day. And this is why we had to invade Iraq. And how many American people realize that the Taliban didn't bomb us on 9/11? They weren't involved. And the people that were mostly involved were from Saudi Arabia. But everybody's automatic. I mean, these were the five worst monsters of the world, and they caused all the problems of the world. And it's just not true. It's a little bit different when you talk about Al-Qaeda, but even Al-Qaeda is a reaction to what we've been doing over there. So I would take this time to make the point that this is a bit complex, but we can sort something out. And maybe the best thing we could come out of this is saying that it is an unintended consequence of our foreign policy. And the sooner we think about that and change our policy, the better.
Well, you're certainly right about that, Dr. Paul. I did the unthinkable, though, the other night, just because I knew we would be talking about this. And I watched a couple of hours of the leading cable TV talking heads, the interventionists and the warmongers, to see how they would try to position the story in the furtherance of their constant interventionist aims. And what they are saying, it seemed to come down to first of all, is a partisan issue that Obama has now negotiated with terrorists, and they are insistent that trades like this incentivize the taking of more captives and make us all more vulnerable.
Yes, and you know, another thing they don't forget, that they don't remember about this partisan fight, there was a time that we had a very, very popular president who was, you know, tough on communism and all, but he, Ronald Reagan, negotiated with the Iranian, quote, terrorists, you know, and they were holding American people hostage, and, you know, the day of the inauguration, they were released because some deals were made. And they ended up getting weapons, so we negotiated with what we considered at that time the terrorists, who held a lot more American citizens under quite a bit difference, who were truly hostages, you know, by the Iranians. Their motivations, we could discuss that. But no, nobody condemns Reagan for that. But it was a big issue, and then it morphed into a much bigger issue with the Iran-Contra scandal, and that once again was doing things behind the scenes without congressional approval. And this is why I think I still always want to go back to what is the proper role of our government and the people in this country and our military in the world, if we want to avoid these kind of situations. That to me is to have a non-interventionist foreign policy.
Well said, and thank you again, Dr. Paul, for another great conversation and your great commentary on our podcast. And thank you for joining us for the weekly podcast. I'm Charles Goyette.